So we were around Pasuk Ches. Esther is saying to Achashverosh, if I found favor in the eyes of the king, and if it is good by the king, to grant my question, my request, and to do my request, the king and Haman should come to the feast which I will make for them. Tomorrow I will do like the word of the Melech. So, first of all, what's the difference between a she'ila and a bakasha? We may have talked about this before. So, there's different explanations of what the difference is. The Gra says that the she'ila is for oneself, and bakasha is on behalf of others. So, the Melech said, what is your she'ila and what is your bakasha? That's what in Pasuk Vav, he said, ma she'ila seif minosin lach ma bakasha seif. So the Melech was saying, are you coming to ask for yourself? Are you coming to ask for other people? Either way, what is it? And so she is answering, I have two things, for myself and for other people. So if I found favor in the eyes of the king, that he will grant my she'ela for myself and my bakasha for other people I'm asking for, he should come to the feast. Why? How does that answer my bakasha? How does that answer my she'ela? It doesn't. But basically, the girl explains that she was saying, I can't say it right now because the matter is too delicate and I'm worried that you're not going to answer. You're not going to be in the right mindset, in the right frame of mind to be willing to grant my request. Therefore, come to a feast which I will make for you and for Haman, and that way you will be more inclined to grant my request. So we talked about that there was obvious questions over here. First of all, why did Esther invite them to a party, invite Achashverosh and Haman to a party, right? What was that about? What's going on? Why didn't she ask immediately for what she wanted? To do mevatel the gzeirah, to annul the gzeirah. So there's about, the Gemara itself offers several explanations. And the Mefarshim also answer this in different ways. I'm going to mention a few of these answers. Several. First of all, because she wanted to prevent, she didn't want Haman, she was worried that Haman had risen to such a great height, such great power, position of such great power. Maybe he's going to try to usurp the throne. He's going to try to take over the king. To dethrone the king. She didn't want that to happen because that would mess up the whole plan, right? If Haman's in charge, she wanted that to happen. So therefore, she's kind of flattering Haman to get him on her good side. Another answer is that so that people shouldn't realize that she's Jewish. If people see that she's friends with Haman, she's putting on a facade that she's friendly with Haman, that she likes Haman. Why? Because that way people will think that she's not Jewish. People will say, oh, she's definitely not Jewish. Another reason is, this is an important reason, that so that the Jews should not say, Achos lanu beveis hamelech. The Jews shouldn't rely on Esther saving them. They shouldn't. The Jews might. She's worried that the Jews might their resolve might be weakened to daven. They might say, hey, you know what? We don't have to daven as hard. We don't have to do tshuva as much because we have, after all, our sister is in the Beis Hamelch. Our sister is the queen. She'll do everything on our behalf. We don't have to be so worried. No, she didn't want them to say that. Therefore, she made this whole strange plot, this strange plan, this strategy, which was not immediately apparent what she's trying to do. And the Jews will say, what the heck is going on? She's not helping us, she's messing us up. Instead of asking for her to save us, she's asking them to come to a feast. The Jews will realize that they have no one to rely on. Another interesting shot is that she's trying to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. That look, Hashem, look what I have to go through. Look what I'm being put through in order to save the Jews on behalf of the Jews. I'm actually having to flatter this Rosh HaMerusha, this person trying to kill the Jews, who hates you, who hates the Jews, I actually have to go through this to flatter him in order to look at the predicament that I'm in. So Hashem will be Merachim and have mercy and save them.
What I had is like you're saying that the Jews won't be so secure at her being right. Jews, right? But how did they know that she was having a feast with Haman and Achashverosh? You know, it's like a private party. You know, I mean, if somebody invited Obama and Kirby, you know, would we hear?
Well, we probably would. Yeah. Now nothing's private. But
yeah.
It's a good question. I mean, I think the Gemara says this reason actually, but yeah, it sounds like you know, just as now, back then also, if something happens among Jews in the Jewish community, everybody's going to hear about it before the day's out. Probably maybe Mordechai was in on it, and he would have let everybody know. Also, another answer that's given is that in order that the Melech she wanted to make the dynamics between Haman and Achashverosh, you know, tense. She wanted to make that Achashverosh should be jealous of Haman. He should hate Haman, so that he'll be more willing at the end to hang him. also, it's not more practical reason is that the more she puts it off, the more she delays actually asking the king, the more complacent Haman will be and the more secure he will feel in his position. He's not going to be worried about, oh, maybe Esther's against me, maybe I have to be worried about what's going to... You know, Haman knows that Esther was brought up, was raised in Mordechai's home. She knows that. He knows that.
Wait, Haman knows that?
Haman knows, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that Mordechai raised Esther. We don't know that Esther's Jewish. We don't know that Esther's Jewish. We don't know that Esther is an ally of Mordechai, but we know that that's where she was raised.
You're sure Haman knows?
Really?
Achashverosh doesn't know.
Achashverosh doesn't know what nationality she is. She, right. It could be that Mordechai is raising her and that she's not Jewish. But a lot of Mepharshim seem to say that. They imply they knew that Mordechai was the one who raised her. Yep. That was common knowledge.
Yeah, but they wouldn't suspect that she's... Maybe there's a good possibility or some possibility she's Jewish. I mean, a Jew usually doesn't raise a non-Jew, you know, unless there's...
Right.
Usually. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Why did... Some of us would say that he did suspect it. Yeah. He did suspect it. We'll see soon in the psukim. But you're right. It's a good question. If people did know, as it is implicit in some of the Mepharshim, people knew that Mordechai did raise her. Why wouldn't they naturally suspect that she was Jewish?
It's so unusual.
Yeah, it would be more unusual that a member of one ethnic group would right. raise orphans right, of their own rather than that of others.
Right, exactly, especially with Jews.
Well, given the amount of assimilation in that time, they might not have been really concerned.
What do you mean they would have been concerned?
Oh, I see. I mean, they might. If she was an assimilated Jew, would they care that she was Jewish?
Sure.
Yeah, probably.
She'll be
Jewish. Yeah, I mean...
To them, would she still be Jewish if she assimilated?
Sure. Well, you're kidding, they don't get distinctions.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't say definitively, but I would guess. I would imagine that, yeah.
Oh, sure. Even with the Calvary Jew, he didn't care. If he didn't care how religious you were, not religious. That was his whole argument, and... You can see the same thing
yeah.
with Leah Machshemo.
He wasn't trying to
right,
convert
to
them.
That, right, to him, it would, yeah, she'd still be a Jew.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So Achashverosh, sure. Maybe she wouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, maybe not.
Oh, that's your thing. That's Achashverosh. It's
interesting, man.
But think about it. So the more she pushes it off, the more she says, oh, no, instead of asking right away, she'll say, No, come to a mishteh. She's making Haman more and more complacent, more and more feel more and more secure, and he won't be on guard as much. So then, at the last moment, when she turns on him and she says it was you, he'll be flustered. He won't have anything to say. He'll be completely caught off guard, and it'll be easier to get him killed.
You see a few seconds later, you see when he says it when he talks to his wife and his supporters, and he says that uh, only Apkohi Leah, Sternlakli, and Melakomita, Jaros, Asosa, Kima Osi, you see how complacent he is.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Thinks that it was going her favor.
Okay, so let's see the Psuk in Vayter. Test pasuk test by Yitzay Haman by Yom Ahu Sameach v'Toyv Lev. Haman went out on that day, Sameach, happy v'Toyv Lev, and serene, or happy in his heart. V'chirois Haman as Mordechai b'Shar HaMelech, and when Haman saw Mordechai in the gateway of the king, v'loy kam v'loy zam menu, he didn't stand up and he didn't even move, or he didn't tremble from him. V'yimale Haman a Mordechai chema, and Haman was filled with anger towards Mordechai. So there's a lot of things going on in this pasuk. First of all, what's Bayom Ahu? Vayetze Bayom Haman Bayom Ahu. He went out on that day. Why is that significant? Why does he have to emphasize that it was on that day? So we could say Bayom Ahu and not any day. This was the last day, basically. So this was the last day that Haman was going to be happy. Right now he was at the epitome of his. He's at the peak. He's not going to go any higher than this. This is the peak, right? He's at the peak of his power, and he's just been invited to a private party with the king and the queen. So he's at the and from that, and we know from that it's only going to be downhill from now, right? So that's by Yom Ha'u. On that day, Haman went out Sameach v'Toyv Lev, but not anymore. Also, the reason what was the cause for Haman's downfall? The cause was the fact that he was Sameach v'Toyv Lev. As the Gemara says, Lefnei Shever Goyin, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Lefnei Shever Goyin. Before the break, before the downfall, comes Goyin, comes pride. That's what the Gemara says, one of the reasons why Esther did invite Haman, and in order to flatter him, give him more covet, was because Lefnei Shever Goyin, in order to facilitate to make the Shever happen more quickly, to bring about the downfall more quickly, raise him up higher. So that's why he went out by Yom Ahu on that day, Sameach v'Toyv Lev. He was happy. Toyv Lev, that's actually that was a cause of his later downfall. Okay, so when Haman saw that Mordechai was lo kam v'lo yizah, until now we saw that he didn't bow down. Lo yichra v'lo yishtacha, lo yichra v'lo yishtacha. Mordechai would not kneel and he wouldn't bow down in front of him. Here we're saying more. He didn't. Not only did he not bow down, but he didn't even stand up for him, which is kind of just a basic
courtesy
for definitely for an officer. And Vloizah, not only that, but then he didn't even make a move. He didn't even tremble at all.
I didn't say good morning.
But nothing. It was the biggest bizarre. And notice also how what was the whole reason that he didn't bow down? One of the main reasons, because he had an avodah zara on him. That's not an issue. That's just an issue of bowing down. There's no having the fact that he has an avodah zara on him doesn't mean that you can't stand up for him, or that you can't, you know, make some nod or something, make some sort of gesture. So the avodah zara was not really. That's not really the reason. So Haman sees that's not what's going on over here. It's not because of the avodah zara. It's because of me. He does. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to get me. He's out to get me, or he just despises me and is showing his hatred for me.
So I would assume that he did stand up from other times?
Yeah, Kobe, he did stand up from other times. And definitely he would stand up for other sarim, for other officers. And the Groh says, and the Yosef Lekach, they say that the reason that he was so angry this time was because up until now he could have, like we said before, he suspected, maybe the reason that Mordechai is so complacent and so confident and that's why he's not bowing down to me is because he knows that he has a connection to the queen. Because he has a connection to the queen, so that's why he's confident and he's not bowing down to me. But now, who did the queen invite to the party? Mordechai? No, she didn't invite Mordechai. She invited me. I'm her ally. I'm her friend. Mordechai, obviously, she has severed all ties with, and she's not interested in him anymore. So what is he relying on, the fact that he's not, what is he relying on but not bowing down to me? That made him so much more angry that he has nothing to rely on. He's not only is he right up until now, maybe okay, I can kind of answer it. I can kind of it's a little bit more understandable why he's not doing it, because he thinks that he has a connection to the queen. But now we see that he doesn't. So now what's his rationale? Okay. Vayisapak Haman Vayavay Abesai. Haman held sort of, Vayisapak is like, and he held it in.
Restrained himself, exactly.
Vayavay Abesai, and he came to his house, Vayishlach, and he sent Vayavay as Oyava Bezerish Ishtoi. And he called, and he sent, and he brought his all of his people who loved him, the Zeresh Ishtoi and his wife Zeresh. Could be she was not included in the former category of the people who loved him. I don't know. It's a little bit implied, a little bit implicit. There are two groups: his wife and the people who loved him. Okay. Vayisaper lahem Haman as kivod ashrei v'roi banov, and Haman spoke to them, told over to them his honor and his wealth, the Roy Bonov, and his many children of his, you know, his numerous sons, Beis Kalasha Gidloi HaMelech, and that all that which the Melech had raised him up, Beis Asher Nisoy Al Hasarim. Well, Gidloi, I guess, is they made him greater. Beis Asher Nisoy Al Hasarim BeAvdei HaMelech, and that which the king had raised him over all the Sarim and the Avdei HaMelech. This seems a little strange. He's coming to tell his family and his wife about all his wealth and his covet. Like, obviously, who would know about it if not them? Obviously, they would know about it. And about how many kids he has, and about the fact that the king made him wealthy. And so, some of the Mefarshim say that what was going on over here was an interesting psychological phenomenon, which is that when a person is at the peak of a power, or of he's enjoying himself, or is he, let's say more, he feels that he's very mechubad. He feels he's being accorded a lot of honor, and he feels like he's in great esteem. And then all of a sudden, somebody pops his bubble, and the whole thing comes crashing down. He would be so distraught that he could die. The person could die from that. He'd be so distraught that all of a sudden, in one second, he loses the whole thing. Then what should he do to remedy that? Well, what he should do is he should talk himself. He should encourage himself by talking to other people and relating to them. Oh no, things are good. Things are good, and I am a chashuv person. I am a important person. I'm a good person, right? So that's what's going on over here. Since Mordechai wasn't bowing down to him, and we see later that he's going to say that kind of made everything not worth it, that ruined the whole thing for him. So now what he's trying to do to assuage his hurt ego, to make himself feel better, is he's telling over to his family, everybody who loves him, no, he's trying to encourage himself, give himself chizuk.
He's a Balgaiva in the Jacob Montero. The name of Balgaiva is to be involved in self-aggrandizement. So he's full of himself, talking about himself. He's doing that also.
Right, that's true.
The theme of this Shemar Gong, this is.
Right, that's true. It's just, why is it now? Why is he saying, look, and according to that, he would probably say whenever he went home, he would start bragging. Here it seems like it had something to do with what Mordechai.
Self reassurance.
Exactly. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayoyim Haman. Aflo Hivia Esther Hamalko Im Hamelech El Hamishte Asher Asasa Kim Oisi. And also, Esther, the queen, didn't bring to the mishteh, which she made with the king, which she made. Only except for me. Ki moisi v'gam l'machar ani kar lo im ha-melech. And also tomorrow I am invited to the melech. I'm invited with the melech. V'chol ze einenu shoyveli, and all this is worthless to me. Each time that I see Mordechai HaYehudi sitting in the Shar HaMelech, the whole thing is worthless to me. All my covet, all my wealth, it's garnished.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazing that that all this could be worthless to him.
The only thing I understand, they say that Ahasuerus is, in a lot of ways, even worse than Haman in terms of his hatred towards Jews, right? I
mean, right.
It's just, how does that, you know, how does that round up? from taking into consideration this, I mean, it looks like Haman is like, as Achashverosh, it can be bought a little bit, but Haman is like, he's dedicated to, you know, he, give me all the wealth of the kingdom, it doesn't matter, I'd rather see the Jews die. I mean, it's, it seems Haman is just a question.
Although this is, the Jews are going to die regardless. This is not about the Jews, it's about Mordechai.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jews are set to die on their schedule to be killed. This is about Mordechai. He can't wait for Mordechai. He can't wait that long for Mordechai to be killed in 11 months. He wants Mordechai to be killed right now.
Mordechai's the ultimate Jew. He's the quintessential Jew. He's the guy of the Lord. We got to get rid of him because he's the Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay,
you know,
Kobe.
That's what I was thinking.
Possibly. You're saying this is more of an anti-Semitic thing than just an ego thing?
I think so, yeah.
Actually, the Gemara says, Haman min ha-Torah minayim. How do we know, what is the shirish, what is the source for Haman in the Torah?
Bereshis.
Right. And the Gemara says, Hamin ha, the pasuk in Bereshis, in Parshas Bereshis, Hamin ha-Eitz asher tzivisi, Hamin ha-Eitz asher, lo-yisaychu, whatever the pasuk is. So, lo-yisaychu mimenu. The Hamin ha-Eitz, from this, when Hashem asks other religion, did you eat from this tree, from the Eitz Hadas? That is the makar. Hamin, the word Hamin ha-Eitz, is the makar, is the source for, is a remez to Haman. That's what the Torah says. That's what Gemara is saying. Haman, what's the source for Haman min ha-Torah? So the question, what's the question? What's Gemara asking? What is the source for Haman min ha-Torah? Haman was a person who lived, it's recorded about him in the Megillah. What does it mean, what's the source in the Torah? So Rabbi Aaron Cutler explained that what it means is, where do you find such a thing that a person could have all the power, all the wealth, and all the honor in the world, and yet just the one level beneath the king, and yet the whole thing is completely worthless to him if just one little thing is out of his reach. If one little thing is not attainable, then the whole thing is worthless. Just like Haman, who had every single thing going for him except one little guy, one man, is not bowing down to him. What is that about? Where do you find a shayush for this, a makar, a source in the Torah? And the answer is, you find it by Adam HaRishon, by the Eitz Hadas. Adam HaRishon had the whole world to himself, right? The whole world was for Adam and Chava, and
except for the
one tree, actually two trees, but one tree in particular, the Eitz Hadas, was forbidden. And that was the one thing, that whole thing was considered as nothing in his eyes. And that's why he was nichshal.
Wow.
Okay. So let's see Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel says, "Einenu shayli, eini chosh l'chol ha-kavod ha-shali." I don't care for all the kavod which is to me. B'chol eis, each time that I see Mordechai, Amru Rabbi Seinu, our Chachamim said, "Jehoyamar lo yishdar shemochar atzmoy le'evet al choysim ezoynis." That Mordechai would show, whenever he passed by, when Haman would pass by, Mordechai would show him the shtar, the document of the sale document, by which Haman had sold himself as a slave to Mordechai when he was choyser mezoynis. Kishnismanu roshe gayosos Mordechai v'Haman b'milchama achas. At one point in the past history, they had crossed paths before, and at that time Haman was in need of food, he was chaser mezoynis, and he had sold himself as a slave, and he wrote it on a document, and Mordechai would still have the document, and he would, every time Haman would pass by, he would show it to him. What's the point? What's he doing? What's he trying to like start up with Haman? He's trying to insult him? What's the point of him doing this? Haman's caused enough trouble as it is. Why do more to incite him? So, first of all, why would it make that it's not that's in Enu Shoyveli? This would help us understand why it's in Enu Shoyveli, why it was considered worthless to itself. Because what's the halacha? The halacha is Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. What an Eved acquires is acquired to his master. An Eved can't acquire anything for himself unless somebody stipulates specifically that it's only being given to the Eved. But it's not. If an Eved receives a present, it goes automatically to the it's acquired automatically by the master. So Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi. So that's why whenever he would show him the Shtar Mechira, he would say basically everything that you have, all your wealth is all mine. It's so you have nothing to be proud of.
So you're still a slave theoretically.
Theoretically, he's saying you're still a slave. So.
What happened? He escaped or something from?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what the history was. I don't know where the story is in more detail. Also, he's saying what was Haman's whole thing? Haman had bought the Jews from Ahasuerus, right? He had paid Aseret Alafim Kikar Kesef. He paid the 10,000 talents of silver, and he had, so to speak, bought the Jews in order to kill them. So Mordechai is saying, you think you bought the Jews, whatever you buy, I buy. I'm still your master. So that was basically your whole plan is really fraudulent. The whole thing is not true.
Amazing.
And this is also why he was loikam the loizah. Because the halacha is, so this is the one Mepharshim says, the halacha is that a person, if you're misyayish, we know there's a concept in halacha of yush. Yush, when you give up hope from something. If you own something and you lose it, if you own an object and you lose it, and then you're misyayish, you give up hope from ever finding it, then you lose ownership. And whoever finds it can keep it. The halacha is if you give up hope from an eved, if you, let's say you lose an eved escapes, and you give up hope from ever getting him back, then he goes free. So sometimes a person you might say that Mordechai, you might have thought that Mordechai would be miyayish. He would give him hope from ever getting Haman back, because Haman is obviously he's not in a position to become a slave again. However, whatever the story was, I'm not sure what it was, what happened. But whatever happened, Haman had obviously risen to power. He's at the height of he's at the peak of his power. He's number two in the kingdom, in the empire. You would think that Mordechai would probably give up hope from ever getting him back as a slave. So when he passed by, he wouldn't even move. He wouldn't even stand up for him to show, I was never miyayish. I never gave up hope. I still consider you an eved. I don't care what's happening to you. In my eyes, you're always going to be an eved, and therefore you still belong to me. And according to legally, you still belong to me. Okay, let's see weiter. Pausing a dialogue. That time of law is Zeresh Ishtar
v'chol oyhavav. Before you continue, the thing is in a Jewish law is that after 7 years, a Jewish slave is released.
Right.
But a non-Jewish slave is not released.
Exactly.
So that's what you're...
Exactly, right.
That's a Canaanite too, I don't know. Does that apply to everybody?
Yeah, Canaanite is not.
He's not a Canaanite though.
Yeah, that Canaan is not the. Is just an example. That's just like a.
Oh, just an example.
Yeah,
generic.
Yeah.
I see. So
would apply. Okay, Zeresh Ishtar v'chol oyhavav, and Zeresh's wife and all of people who loved him, said to him, Yasu eitz gavoya chamisha mama. Let them make us a tree, or let's make a post. I'm sorry, what?
Usually from the gallows.
Gallows.
Okay.
Let's make a gallows. Gavoya chamishim hama, 50 amah tall. Uva boiker, and in the morning, and Marla Melech say to the king, the Yislu is Mordechai olav, and they'll hang Mordechai on it. Boy im hamelch el hamishte sameach, and come with the king to the mishte, to the feast, sameach, happy. Vayita vadavil fei haman vayaseid. And the thing was good in the eyes of Haman, and he made the gallows. So basically what you're saying is, you are very upset about Mordechai. So what you should do is, you should have people make the gallows in a way that when you hang him, you'll be able to see him from wherever you are. It's 50 amas high. You will always be comforted by seeing Mordechai, even when you're in the Beis Hamelech, even when you're involved in affairs of the state. And you're in the Beis HaMelech, and even when you're going to be in the Mishnah, even when you're going to be sitting at the party, at the feast, with the king and the queen, you'll be able to see Mordechai hanging. So I'm going to point out that the Gemara in Erevin says that the Pischon Shel Melachim, the normal way of the doorways of palaces of kings, are not higher than 50 amos. They're not taller than 50 amos. The doorway is not going to be taller than 50 amos. The Pesach, the doorways of kings. So that's why if you would make the gallows any taller than Chamisha Mama, the 50 amos, you wouldn't be able to see it when he's sitting in the Beis HaMelech.
Oh, I see.
And this, the fact that, that this etzah, this advice, to make the gallows so high.
Who gave the advice again?
It was the pasuk says Zeresh Ishtoi
b'chol
oyavo.
His wife
and his family and his close ones. So this was from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This was Hashgacha Prat. What good came out of the fact that it was so high? The fact that Ahasuerus himself later, when he's so angry at Haman, says, "What's that gallows?" Right? They say, "Look, Haman made a gallows to hang Mordechai," and they pointed him, and he could see it. It's 50 amos high. He could see it himself. So that itself made an impression on Ahasuerus. If it was a smaller gallows, Ahasuerus would just hear about the gallows. He wouldn't see it with his own eyes. And we say, "Einish Shmi is not doimilari il." Hearing about something does not compare to seeing it with your own eyes. That's why it made a bigger impression on Ahasuerus when he actually sees it, and it'll be more moved to more swiftly carry out the justice on Haman. Okay. And notice at the end it says Vaya'as ha'etz, and he made the eitz. What did they say? Did they say make a eitz? No, they said Ya'asu eitz. Let them make a gallows. Oh. And at the end it says, and he made the gallows. They didn't expect that Haman himself would be involved in the construction of the gallows. They meant let other people make the gallows for you. Get workers, right, carpenters to make the gallows. But at the end, Vaya'as ha'etz, he himself helped out with the building itself. He himself helped the construction people, the carpenters, to actually make the gallows. I just want to go back just to finish with this one last thing, an interesting something that I forgot to say over, which was in Pasuk. Just find it. Let's go back to the beginning in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, when she's standing in front of Ahasuerus in the palace, right? And the king says, "What do you want?" He stretches out his scepter and he says, "What do you want?" So what does he say? "Vayomer haMelech, Malach Esther haMalka, umava koshoseich, achatzi haMalchus v'inosein loch, until chatzi haMalchus, and it will be given to you." That's what he says. It will be given to you. Later, in Pasuk Vav, at the Mishteh, at the first party, what does he say? Vayomer haMelech laEsther b'Mishteh haYayin, Masha eloseich v'inosein loch, umava koshoseich achatzi haMalchus v'seilos. So in Pasuk Gimel, he says, "What is your bakasha? What is your request? Achatzi haMalchus v'inosein loch, it will be given to you." And in Pasuk, when they're at the Mishteh, he says, "What is your bakasha? What is your request? Achatzi haMalchus v'seilos, and it shall be done." What's the difference? Why at first does he say, "And it will be given to you"? And at the second part in the feast, he says, "It will be done." So the Megillah Star says that at the beginning, like we said before, he knew, Ahasuerus knew that Mordechai had raised, that Esther had grown up in the house of Mordechai. So he suspected that she was Jewish. And he figured, why is Esther putting herself in danger, putting her life in danger by coming in to me without being summoned? It must be because she feels like she's in danger. Oh, maybe she's Jewish. Maybe she's Jewish and she's coming to ask on behalf of herself and her people. So what he says is, "What is your request? V'nosilach, it will be given to you. I'm only going to grant for you. I'm only going to give your request for you, not for anybody else." He's suspecting that she's Jewish and she's going to ask on behalf of her whole people. That's what he's saying. Whatever your request is, it will be given to you. Let's say you're Jewish, I'll save you. I'll say that it doesn't apply to you. You're going to live. But I'm not going to do it for anybody else. Only v'nosilach to you. But then later when she says, "Let the king and Haman come to my mishteh, come to my party," he says, "Can't be, she's Jewish. If she's Jewish, why in the world would she be inviting Haman? She's obviously an anti-Semite just like Haman, if she's friends with him. So it must be." So then at the mishteh, he says, "Oh, whatever your bakasha is, this say us, it shall be done, even if it's for other people," because he's not worried anymore that she's going to be asking for the sake of the Jews.
Question, though, if indeed he was a slave, which he was, and Esther's raised in the house, and he would have seen Esther in the house there, you know, I mean, that all those years, at some point, she would have come in and out of that house, and he would have seen slave, and he would have recognized that she was a Jew, indeed, you know what I mean?
If he was an Eved, would he not have realized that Esther was raised there? Yeah, so we're saying now possibly that he did know that she was raised there, and even so, she didn't know she was Jewish, or...
That's
You're right, that is, it seems a little bit strange.
I am walking the house there.
Unless we're ahead of other holdings and kept slaves in those places.
Right, we don't know how long ago this was that he was a slave.
We don't, as Neil just said, could have been other places. Maybe. Slave stuff is fascinating.
I should go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, now I gotta go.